All right, welcome to the National AA Technology Workshop 2019 presentation held in Bowling Green, Kentucky on Friday at 7:45 on the topic of bookkeeping and point of sale systems, birds of a feather session. The theme of this year's workshop is connection. All session audio is being recorded and will be made available to registered NAATW members through our website behind a login. Please help us honor our tradition of anonymity by using first names only. Anonymity breaks will be scrubbed during audio post-processing, but you can help with that process. When you hear a full name during the session, please write down the time and room where this occurred and share this with the taper immediately after the session, or even better, drop this information in the workshop Slack channel. My name is Taryn, and I'm an alcoholic. Let's start with a moment of silence to be used as you wish. Thank you. Should I shut this? I'll shut it. Thanks. So, I mentioned I submitted this topic at last year's NAATW, but it didn't get picked. So this year, we get to talk about one of my favorite topics. among several roles with the inner group of San Francisco and Marin counties, as in addition to being the tech chair of the inner group, I have an unofficial role as IT support for our central office. And in that capacity, I've been involved in the whole saga over the last few years. Like many organizations, they use QuickBooks desktop version, company file hosted on a server, multi-user access, the executive director for reporting, the store for selling books, and it's a mess. And I support that same setup for most of my clients. I'm an IT consultant to small businesses and nonprofits, and it's seemed like in recent years, QuickBooks Online has finally gotten good enough that people are willing to use it. Accountants and bookkeepers are willing to look at it. And at the same time, you know, I think Intuit has really wanted to encourage everyone to migrate toward their web-based, subscription-based solution. So they've maliciously introduced, you know, new bugs every year into QuickBooks Desktop, and it just never works right. Either that, or I'm just way less competent at making software work. So that's been a saga. We're currently trying to migrate to QuickBooks Online. My company uses Xero, which is a web-based, subscription-based alternative, and I've supported a few clients that use other platforms. but I'm just really curious. I mean, I think, you know, any intergroup or central office is going to need a bookkeeping platform, but also, you know, other entities in AA. Even down to the meeting group level, maybe that might be simple enough that the treasurer can just kind of like keep a simple spreadsheet. But you know, districts, areas, anywhere where there's a budget, where maybe, you know, money comes from a few places and goes out to several places. so I'd love to just hear, excuse me, other people's experience with picking one and then living with that decision. With regard to any AA service entities. And then the second part of this is point of sale. That is mostly relevant to central offices that have a bookstore. We use QuickBooks Desktop directly to ring up sales in the bookstore. Our online goes through Shopify. And we also take Seventh Tradition contributions to our intergroup through a platform called Give, which just makes, you know, nice different types of donation, like a bequest or a recurring faithful fiver, $5 a month. And that uses Stripe as a back end. So it's kind of a cobbled together system. And, you know, we've, for the, you know, 3 or 4 years that I've been involved with IT support at our intergroup, I've kind of seen what a house of cards is in place. I'm starting to understand just how common that is with our systems. Maybe, you know, a wobbly stack of apps and solutions that makes it possible for us to do the business side of our mission. And, you know, we're always looking at ways to just kind of make this more current, make it more stable, use free or at least the most affordable solutions so that we can always demonstrate that we're being as judicious as possible with the budget that our participating groups contributes to us. And ideally, although we do have, you know, an executive director / central office manager who's been in her position for 17 years, the other special worker in our central office, is that position has rotated every, you know, year or two, a couple of years. But ideally, you know, we'd like to have a system that doesn't really need to be kind of rebuilt from scratch when somebody new comes along and can't make sense of what's been built. Working mostly with, you know, small organizations, I don't write code, I don't build websites, I just do tech, and there's very little that's custom there. Pretty much everything is a sign up here or buy this off the shelf and just assemble your things. But even still, it seems, you know, like there's a lot of moving parts there. So yeah, I'd like to just have a discussion with you all about, you know, what have you seen? What have you done? What's the pain? What's the joy? So I'll open it up.
Go around.
Bread alcoholic. My question is more of the POS point of sales. I'm involved in throughout the year quite a few different state NMIA, which we have a what we call a roundup, and people say, well, why don't you have a credit card reader to be able to pay for registration or a banquet? And I'm here to look for some experience from you guys on what you're using and costs and possible solutions for this. Thanks.
Right. Yeah. You're next. Okay. Taking stack. In my experience, there's the, the old school POS, which is a computer with a, you know, thick client software running it on it and a bunch of peripherals, some of which use, you know, a parallel port or something. And then there's basically Square, or things similar to Square, where it runs on a tablet, it's cloud-based, you have a card reader. Early on in getting involved and learning about how things work at my intergroup, I asked, oh my goodness, why aren't you using something like Square where you can do it on a tablet? And the funny reason for that is that apparently AA World Services literature products don't all have a usable barcode. So we can't, you know, scan things that way, and that's why they ended up typing them in. And they also just found, for a variety of other reasons, that, you know, manually entering things avoided some other pitfalls that were even more painful. But I've used Square, and, you know, there are other services that are similar. Not to endorse anyone, but, you know, Square did just recently introduced. So, you know, they started out with just send money back and forth, and then the point of sale in a lot of, you know, coffee shops and so forth use that now. And now they have kind of a back-end system for managing inventory. I don't know how well it would scale from your you know, 20 types of donuts all the way up to your 5,000 different books, but it might be worth looking at. Certainly, it seems like these days, you know, people who want to buy something and the process isn't easy, they'll lose interest, you lose sales. And, you know, not that we're here necessarily to, you know, sell as much product as possible, but if we're here to serve a constituency and, you know, their desire for literature is part of that, we want to serve as effectively and efficiently as possible. So I'd say, you know, something with a, you know, inventory on a tablet, managed, you know, in a cloud portal like Square does. And most of those things will have some sort of API where you can at least dump your sales into QuickBooks or your accounting platform of choice. I've seen that done in a few different implementations, and it seems to work well. So I would focus on the idea of not trying to adapt your core bookkeeping and financial platform too much to enable that, but try to, you know, find a solution that just comes pre-built, again, with like an integration or, you know, API connectivity that you can at least say, okay, we're going to have this little, you know, separate pod of inventory that goes to the Roundup, and when it comes back, we'll dump it in and hopefully not have to, you know, manually enter everything. So does that speak to what you're talking about at all?
Well, the events that I'm talking about, we don't necessarily have an inventory. It's just more or less paying for services. So it would still work because, you know, you go to an event or you're planning to go to an event, and then you would pay for your banquet, you would pay for the registration, and that would be more or less it for an area standpoint or a roundup, an event for NMIA, which is Northern Michigan Inter-Area, and it's... I don't know, but it would work that way too. So, thank you.
Hi, I'm Ron. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ron.
Hi. I'm relatively new to this. I'm just starting early to take over for somebody in December, so I don't have a whole lot of what we do. But we had just set up a store in the St. Louis area, in the inner group, and we used Square, but we used WordPress and some plugins from WordPress to actually make a full store that also has inventory, things like that. Now, another good one would be PayPal. PayPal, you can actually pay your vendors with it, not just take in payments, and I believe they also have a portable that you can take to events to pay things at events. So that's you know, kind of what we're doing. I don't know the accounting software because I haven't been there to talk to literature to find out what they use, but we set WordPress up with a purchasing system that she is using that. And you could take inventory out and say, I'm putting it to here. And then what's not sold, you put it back in. I mean, you can do that all through WordPress.
Hey, I'm Rebecca. I'm an alcoholic. I'm the office manager for the East Tennessee Intergroup in Knoxville, Tennessee. So this is something we've really struggled with. Like in the last 4 years, we went from like completely paper bookkeeping to now. So what we use in the office is Square. They are putting new barcodes on everything we're getting that they're printing new stuff of now has barcodes on it. So we're able to do that. And the Square I found is very easy for what you're talking about. PayPal has a very similar system, but we had already had all of our information in Square, and it wasn't, it's like, I think we figured out it was going to be like $50 cheaper per year. And frankly, it wasn't worth paying me to migrate the system to just leave it in Square. So whichever one you do, they're both very similar. But you can just create, like, you know, this is the registration, this is the event ticket, this is the food, whatever, and just brings them in. And we also, when we started out with like a hard top, you know, like swipe your credit card like you see in a gas station. And that actually cost us more money as opposed to doing it by the Square. It just does it per transaction. And you can build that into your price. So if it's $10 and it's like 3 cents or something, I mean, you can make it like $10.50 and cover.
That's an iPad attachment or a phone attachment.
Yeah, you just stick it in It just plugs right in. And we have a mobile intergroup. So we go to events where we take like a mobile store with us, and they actually have like a keypad we just bought that's like a keypad and a printer and a barcode scanner, and the whole thing travels with us too, because we only have, I think we did like $35,000 in book sales for our whole intergroup last year, and it wasn't really worth going back to the desktop one for the square. I mean, it's gonna get pricey when you get up to, like, I think I did a transaction the other day, it was $350 and they took $10, but I feel like we sell more because we can take credit cards as opposed to anything else.
Thank you. Hi, Ron again. I was curious about the question when you said you needed it to pay vendors.
No.
Oh, that's what I thought you said, you know, to pay the food people, the caterers. Because that's
where
PayPal would come in, or something like that, where you can transfer the money from there, from your bank account to theirs. But Square is really awesome. I mean, it works well.
So, you guys just made me realize something. So, our intergroup and our, you know, our central office is part of our intergroup. I think of it in terms of, you know, the intergroup. But, you know, we take in money, two kinds of money, book sales and contributions. And the contributions, you know, you can pay us via PayPal, Venmo, Square, send a check, do a contribution on our website, which is through the Give WordPress plugin, which backends through Stripe and comes in that way, or you can drop cash in a little can there. But it's kind of interesting. There may be some gray areas. What you're talking about sounds like it's, you know, paying for services, but in such a simple way, it's almost like just here, intergroup, have a donation, but we don't treat it that way because it's specifically for something, right? So that's interesting to think about. You had another comment?
I'll catch you after. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. Who else? Yeah.
The group question. We're all online, our treasurers, secretaries, everything, chairs. And we're looking at trying to have a double sign for our checking and our banking. Does anybody have that experience on an all online?
Online.
No, it's all online.
Not online.
I'm Rebecca. I'm an alcoholic. I am in the. We're moving our office next weekend while I'm at the office managers convention. So yay for not having to move furniture. But so I was trying to order checks for our new office, because our checks were literally 4 years old with our old address on it, but that we had 6 bazillion of them that lasted us 4 years, so we were going to use them. And so I was like, I need to buy new checks that have double signatures. You don't have to have double signatures anymore. I couldn't find anywhere to order those checks because they don't need them. So I don't know how you would do it online, but you can't even get the paper ones like that.
Yeah, we're just trying to keep everybody honest.
I can just tell you that from my experience, the bank don't care. We can say it's our policy to have two signatures. They'll still cash it with one. And so even if there's two lines. Yeah. So I can. One thing that I wanted to say about PayPal, and I'm not a technologist. I'm just here because it's fun, and it's the first thing I've done in a while in AA that I didn't have to be at. I am Roger, alcoholic. I recently registered for a young people's conference online for nostalgia reasons, because I chaired the Ohio Young People's Conference in the 80s sometime. And so I'm just going to go back because it's going to be fun. And PayPal was the way you did it. And I felt like an old curmudgeon, because I'm like, I don't have a PayPal account, or I forgot my password. And I couldn't figure out how to do it, and they didn't have anything with a credit card. And I spent a fair amount of time trying to figure out how to pay it with a credit card, which you can do, but it was not intuitive to me. And I don't know if you'll lose sales because of old guys like me that didn't get it. I was afraid to ask, really. I didn't want to ask a young person how to do this because I thought I should know. But that was my experience recently.
Hi, I'm John Sequers. I manage the office in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I just wanted to pass on, as far as the roundups or conferences or things, and I've not been directly involved, but some of those in our area are actually doing it through the motel. And sometimes the motel will work with you, and for a little fee, like say if it's a $25 registration, when they get their motel room, they can pay that, and then the motel gives you like $22 or something, right? They deduct something for their, because they got to pay their credit card fees too, and their so on processing fees. And sometimes that's a help right there. The people can, but what about people who stay in the motel? How do they register, right? So, but what our office, a couple of years back, we started taking online donations, and we used PayPal and WordPress with WooCommerce, right? And so far, it's working out pretty well. We do have some issues, okay, which is basically this. With our credit, we have a credit card machine, and if you donate $100 on a credit card machine, the bank gives us $100, right? And then at the end of the month, they bill us $3 for processing that, which is fine. PayPal does that a lot differently. PayPal takes your fees out first. So if you donate $100 from PayPal, we only get $97. And yet we've got to show you credit for $100. You follow me? And that's a little difficult in our books, okay? Well, QuickBooks Online has an app that does that, okay, which I thought was working pretty well. And it would put the money in the right accounts and still give you credit for $100. Then we got a new treasurer, and he doesn't like the way QuickBooks does it. Okay? So we're all over again re-looking at this whole issue of how do we show you credit for $100? We only get $97. See what I mean? So there's some issues with that. But the system itself is working very well. We get the money, no problem. You know what I mean? And that's what's working for us. That's why I'm curious about things like Square, these different companies. I'm going to go back and look at this stuff now to see if they process theirs a little differently. Okay? Because I found out my preference is for whatever company I'm using to give me all the money and then bill me. Right? Just like PayPal. Yeah, and that's become an issue for us. So one of the reasons I want to do here tonight is find out if other people are doing like Square, where they do that, and how you're handling that and still giving credit for the full amount of money. You have to show me. Thank you.
I'm Blaine. I'm an alcoholic. I don't have a direct comment on that, and I have not a whole lot of experience in a lot of these specific things in supporting them in AA, but I will at least report on this event since I'm familiar with it. You all registered and saw our site in one of the two shapes that it was in during the year. This year we're using, I believe, EventZilla, and I think we may have used Eventbrite at one point. I don't know if that's true. We also used BigCommerce at one point in the last 5 years, and then we did two homegrown sites, I think 1 year with PayPal, 1 year with Square. So we've had a lot of trials. And anecdotally and specifically, I guess I can say a couple things. The on-site registration, which I would imagine would translate into any other event if you were at a state convention or just, you know, anything else, the people have been able to use tablets or, in this case, laptops, and they literally just use our site to do the registration as if it were a local app with a Square reader. They can just do it on the site without a credit card present. And we take on the same fees that we do. Whenever we've used a plug-in, something like EventZilla or a third-party site like that, right, our site will link you to it. You go through the little shopping cart interface, choose whatever you choose, and then pay. They just have some flat fee, typically. I think EventZilla might charge us $1 per thing, which on the one hand is steep. On the one hand, it just hasn't, you know, it's been a better deal to have it handled and have no technical issues, certainly, than whatever the minor difference in the you know, less than $1 in cents there's been. And we did have a year that we did the tablet with the Square reader, because as opposed to doing the website thing locally, I think that actually had more problems. I think the issue with that is the host committees, you know, the people that were taking the transactions. They seem to understand the website a little better in terms of how to fill it out and hit a button than they did how to sort of work the credit card machine, if you will, that was on the interface. But otherwise, it all seemed to work through most of those ways. We've had some debate internally. I think we've done spreadsheet treasurer, QuickBooks offline treasurer, and they're, I believe this year, if they didn't just, they're about to. They may have just this year moved to QuickBooks Online. And that I have not yet heard a comment from a treasurer that's sort of better or worse, other than they all have a preference of it just seems to be whoever's doing the job prefers it one way. But I have not yet heard profound feedback in any one way or the other as an outsider, right, in terms of what that is. More so on the reporting side, inside the business, if you will. The report you get back for, you know, but certainly not the report that you hand to the fellowship. That doesn't seem to matter. But inside, there's a little bit of a reporting preference. That's probably my whole experience. Anybody else touch any of this that wants to share?
The QuickBook online, is can other people see it, or how does that work?
I'll let you talk about it after. The one thing that I will comment is that it's TechSoup, so for the nonprofit at least, there's a good deal on it for what that's worth. But it's just a multi-user cloud platform. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Nonprofits, educational people, churches, you can get software free or really cheap, depending. Okay. If you apply for it, you've got to be a 501c3 and yeah. Go through a little bit of a process, file your tax returns, that kind of stuff.
I'm Rebecca. I'm an alcoholic. So we have everything in QuickBooks, and we tried to migrate to QuickBooks Online. So I would like to do QuickBooks Online, but it just did not work for us because it kept the last 3 months of transactions, it would double them, because I had already put them in, and then it pulls the info from the bank, and then I would spend hours going back and deleting them, and then I'd sign back in, and it was all there again. So it just didn't work for us, but it had a lot of functions on it, and everyone can sign in. Everyone can sign in from their home computers and look at it. I really wished it had worked for our intergroup because I'm, hand-putting all this stuff in, but we're so small, it's not that big of a deal for us. But it's fantastic for everyone being able to access it.
Oops, sorry. Shout out for somebody to do a QuickBooks Online session next year and teach everybody.
Just for me, we've been using QuickBooks Online for a while. And from TechSoup, like she said, QuickBooks Online normally is $50 a month, okay? But through TechSoup, you get it for $50 a year, okay? Quite a difference, okay? And for that $50, there's different levels. You get, I think, 5 users, okay? So 5 people can log in from anywhere. I can log into QuickBooks right now from my phone and make a sale right now, okay? Or run a report or whatever I need to do. That I like about it. But you can get more users for more money. So you can expand as much as you wanted to, but you get 5 automatically. And I'm really impressed with it personally. I know some people don't like the online version, right? But I like it a lot, and it's been working for us. So, but I just want to shout out again, TechSoup, and I'm not promoting anybody, .org, all kind of stuff, which takes a while to get registered because they really do check to make sure you're a nonprofit. They don't take your word for it. They do some checks and find out, and it's a few days later they get back to you and say, yeah, now you can buy from us.
It occurs to me this might be a interesting time to weigh in purely from my perspective as IT support. So, you know, the old way of doing a lot of this stuff was to buy software, install it on a server that is in your closet, hopefully not with, you know, boxes of flyers stacked on top of it and those huge jugs of water from the water bubbler stacked in front of it so that when it stops responding and they say, IT, help, you know, we have to, you know, start moving furniture in order to do our troubleshooting. But... you know, clearly having the brain of your systems in the cloud, you know, it seemed like a good concept, and in practice has turned out to be so. QuickBooks Online, you know, Google Docs, these things, they just don't go down very often. And, you know, with your solution in the cloud, even if your whole internet connection at your central office goes out, you can just go to the Starbucks next door or whatever. And get on from there. You can get on from home. So there's a lot of flexibility there. I take that logic also to the devices that you access your stuff from. So if you need to install QuickBooks Desktop Edition And then point it at a company file on another computer, and this relies on, you know, file sharing being set up correctly. You can't easily replace that. A lot of times your non-technical staff won't be able to get quite all the way there, and you'll need your IT support. And if you're a central office, your IT support might be me, and I have a day job. And so, you know, that's another advantage I see of things like Square is that, you know, the devices that you access it on are pretty cheap. They're practically disposable, or at least, you know, the makers of our cell phones and tablets sincerely hope that we'll dispose of them and buy new ones instead of fixing the old ones. They're making that more of a foregone conclusion. And then you download the app, you sign in, and that's literally all there is to it. So I feel like for organizations that are trying to do stuff like keep books and sell products, who almost by definition don't have professional tech support available, it's even more important to, you know, stay oriented towards those solutions that are kind of commodified, where the devices are fairly ubiquitous, the connectivity is ubiquitous, and that's what you're paying your monthly subscription for. You don't have to rely on too many weak links, too many single points of failure in order to keep your operation running. So who else has thoughts on this overall birds of a feather topic back there? Going to come up front. We're speaking into the mic exclusively.
I apologize for coming in late. I fell asleep. That food was so good. I'm Vicki, Deltona, Florida. My question is, do you know of the areas, any areas that are taking online donations? That's something that I would really like to look into. I mean, I don't know.
I'll call this into the mic as people shout out, and I'll start with San Francisco and Marin intergroup. We take online donations to our intergroup via Venmo, Square, PayPal, as well as website with a credit card through a payment processor. And we also are trying to produce some kind of explainer information for individual meeting groups, to help them with the decision of whether to take their seventh contribution funds through something like Venmo as well. But you asked about areas, so.
Roger Alcoholic again. Our area just approved doing that, and we're working on which vendor to go with to do that. It's not been done yet. But in order to research that and present that motion for discussion, the chair of our finance committee reached out to at least 8 to 10 other areas by looking at their website and finding a bunch. The one that comes to mind that she had a conversation, which was Alabama, Northwest Florida area one, certainly does, and had a lot of success with that. So there's at least 8 of them out there that she communicated with.
How did Alabama, Northwest Florida get area one? Did they?
Alabama is alphabetical.
Oh, cool. I knew I was going to learn something interesting by asking that question. Who knows about other areas?
Area 64, Tennessee does.
Area 64, Tennessee takes what method?
Online.
But they do take online contributions to the area. How do people decide that they want to donate to their area? Would this be treasurers? Or just people who they really, group treasurers.
Can do it.
Or individuals who just really like their general service area.
Typically.
I'm curious about that. I don't know anything about that part myself.
I'm Rebecca, I'm an alcoholic. There is a pamphlet that I hand out like candy called Where Money and Spirituality Mix. And it's got suggestions from, well, it pretty much says this is what GSO says we should do with our money. And what do we like to fight about money? So instead of even giving my opinion, I just hand it out. But it has suggestions for what your group should do with its money. And after you pay all your bills, after you send your GSR to the assembly, then you should contribute to area, district, intergroup, and GSO.
What was the name of that pamphlet again?
Where
where money and spirituality mix.
So you're talking about meeting group treasurers sending their funds like we do to our district, our area, and some to our and then some to GSO.
Yeah, and in our newsletter every month, we print this is what the suggestion is, and we have all the addresses in there, so it makes it real easy for the treasurer to have everything right here on one page. And a lot of places have that pie chart on their website too, so it's all in one spot. And GSO prefers online contributions, whereas we prefer checks because then we don't have to pay, and we even have that on our thing too.
Right.
Yeah, we have that as well. I was just wondering if any individuals ever just say, you know, I really like California Northern Coastal Area 6, and I'm gonna send them an extra $10 this month. No, no, not. So around the topic of bookkeeping platforms and tech, point of sale, taking money, who else has anything on their mind that they'd like to get out in the room tonight? Yeah. Becca.
I'm Rebecca again. Our big issue is with online stores. Like, we really would like to have one, and we don't have any way to do that. And where they just passed all these new tax laws, like, I work 12 hours a week. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have enough time to figure out what the tax, and you as the retailer are responsible for figuring out what that is. And I didn't know if anybody had any good solutions for how to do an online store and keep up to date with all that kind of stuff.
I'll mention quickly and then hand over to Ron. We use Shopify through our website. I think mainly because it makes it really easy to just list all of our products and keep track of them. And then I forget the other thing I was going to say, so.
Ron again, Steel and Alcoholic. In WordPress on the websites, you know, we've been doing it through the website, and there were several online stores that you can use that were good and worked for the purpose. You know, I can't remember which one we chose because someone else has set that part up. But, you know, going in and working with it, you know, I tried doing it myself a little while ago, and it's probably 4 or 5 that, you know, would work very well for that.
What is that that would work well?
WordPress. On your website? Oh, sorry. On the website most of us use, it's ran by WordPress. And WordPress has things that you can input add-ons that you can get for it. I can't remember exactly what they're called.
Plugins?
So it is plugins. Okay. They got plugins that you could get, and they got several of them that are online stores. You know, some are free, some are paid for, some are actually kind of cheap for, you know, what you're getting. So it's a good place to start looking, and they're not really that hard to set up. Or in my experience, they haven't been.
Yeah, hi. I think I said John Seek with Cincinnati Intergroup. Interesting thing I wanted to point out is our intergroup started taking online donations maybe 2 years ago, right? And we've not had a lot of success. We've had 2 or 3 people that have donated in a big way, but that's about it, okay? We got, our first group contribution like maybe 3 months ago. That's been available for almost 2 years, okay? So our experience, at least in that part of Ohio, is that people aren't in a big hurry to jump on this. And what I'm suggesting they do, rather, is use their own online banking. We do have some individuals that do it. We have the Faithful Fivers. Most everybody has something like that, where you contribute so much each month. And they do it online through their personal bank. It costs them nothing. It costs us nothing. They send us a check. We take the paper check. There's no cost to it. The thing with GSO and the reason why they're going with online donations is they got to pay somebody to process that, where most intergroup offices, we're not busy all the time, right? So the little bit extra it takes us to process a check is worth it because we would have been sitting there, okay? That's what GSO's issue is. But they take so much in, they got to hire extra people just to process checks. And so they're trying to push online donations because of that, because it's electronic. But our success has been real good. It's been easy. We're also using WordPress. The one we chose, I think, was WooCommerce. Super easy to add stuff to. And all these different platforms do the same thing. You can select what zip code you sell to or what state you sell to easily. So if you want to mess with another state's sales tax, you don't sell there. It's that simple. In fact, we're in Cincinnati, which is across the river from Kentucky. We don't sell online in Kentucky. And it's like right across the river. Why? Because we don't want to mess with Kentucky sales tax, because that's a whole other ballgame for us. Okay. So that's all, but those are easy to do. You decide, just because you sell something online doesn't go nationwide. You pick out where you want to go to and whose sales tax you're paying. But that's been our experience, and it's working really well, except that, like I said, it's easy to process. And probably the easiest one, if you're just getting started, we start with PayPal before we use anything else in WordPress, just PayPal. Okay? And Square is probably the same thing. It makes it really easy to put a button on your site that leaves your site so all the security is on somebody else, right? All the responsibility is on somebody else. They just take the money and give it back to you. And it's a pretty simple thing to set up. It's like filling an online form. And they're very helpful. So.
Royce Alcoholic, Freehold, New Jersey. One thing I noticed, speaking about sales tax, is since the cut over to the new system, the NetSuite that GSO is using, if you go to all the literature, they're charging you sales tax now. Now, I'm guessing there's going to be a mechanism for large groups that have tax-exempt to order from GSO tax-exempt. I don't know that for sure, but I would assume so. But the implication is that somebody should be collecting tax, I guess, on the sale of literature, and we've never done that. So I think all these tax issues are going to become more relevant. You know, when I say we've never done that, I'm saying if we sell a book in a meeting, we've never paid sales tax because we've never bought it with paying a tax. Now I guess the implication should be that either we're adding a sales tax onto it, or we're at least cutting a check to the government for the sales tax we should have collected. So I think that's going to be an upcoming issue.
I'm Rebecca. I'm an alcoholic. We just dealt with this. We as an intergroup are tax exempt, so we do not pay taxes when we order from GSO, but you coming in and purchasing from your group should be paying taxes on those items at that point, because your group is not tax exempt, or most groups aren't. It's pretty difficult for an individual group to get a 501c3. So that's where you are paying the tax, and then you're just turning around and being reimbursed for it. But we were not charging sales tax at all to anyone. And Nashville actually got charged, like, they got a $20,000 fine. $20,000 would put us out of business. So when we figured out that that's what we were doing, and we get a lot of pushback from the groups, and people are like, well, why are you, I don't know. Talk to the state of Tennessee. Do you have $20,000 for me not to charge you 3 cents right now? Like, chill out. But yeah, so it is being paid by the group, but then you turning around and selling it, they're not coming after you. They're coming after us with $30,000 a year. They're not coming after y'all with, you know, $200 a year.
All right. Well, shout in the next couple seconds if you think of something you want to talk about. Otherwise, I'm stoked to have finally gotten to discuss this with some people familiar with intergroups and general service entities. I got some good stuff out of this. I hope you did too. And thanks to all of you who have contributed your own experience and knowledge, strength, and hope around bookkeeping and point of sale platforms. I will leave it at that. Thanks for coming, everybody. Thanks.